This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Gracious God, our Father, we thank You that You do restore. You bless us, You strengthen us, You heal us, You make ways, and we give You glory in this place. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for being all that we need You to be, every time we need You to be. A very present helper in the time of trouble. You've opened doors, You've made ways, You've healed us, strengthened us, blessed us, provided for us,
yes, God,
protected us, spared us. All that You do, we thank You. And not only do we thank You for all that You do, we thank You for who You are. You're God and You're God alone. May You be glorified, not just in this worship, but be glorified,
yes,
in our lives.
God.
May You be lifted up.
Yes, Lord.
May Your children declare of Your glory. May this world know there is a God who reigns,
yes,
who rules, who takes care of His. Now, Lord, we come before You in this worship, needing to hear from You, needing a closer walk with You, and we pray Your word is so designed to help us on this at this hour. May this word enhance our worship.
Yes, Lord.
And may You get the glory somehow, some way. We declare Your children blessed today, strengthened, saved, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
Any spirit unlike Yours, oh God, may it not be comfortable.
Yes, Lord.
Would You transform by Your power, by Your will and Your way. We are careful to give You all the praise, the glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Anointing,
yes, yes,
fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Oh, oh, anointing fall on me. Anybody needs an anointing today?
Yeah.
Anointing fall. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Oh, anointing fall on me. Anointing. Fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing. Come on, one more time from your spirit. Ask for His anointing today. His presence. Anointing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Fall on me.
I can't make it without your anointing. Yes, Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on. Come on, let the power. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on. Let your power, Lord, of the Holy Ghost. He's here for you. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me, on me. Anointing fall on me. In the way I live, Lord, in the way I give, yes, Lord, your anointing, Lord, anointing. Every day of my life, Lord, I need your anointing, anointing. I need your hand, Lord, I need your power, Lord, anointing. In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, Lord, I need your anointing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anointing fall on. Thank you, Lord. Come on, get to the Lord. Thank you for his anointing, for his spirit, for his power, for his presence, for his grace, for his mercy, for his love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Come on, somebody who's not too mean, tell the Lord thank you.
Hallelujah.
I don't mean to bother you, but give him a shout.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 7. To you, the people of God, we greet you today in divine love. To our ministers and leadership, and to all of you, my Father's children, It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. To those who are worshiping virtually, we thank God for you on today. This is the day the Lord has made. And it's all right to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 7. I'm going to get right into this word and get out of your hair because I'm excited for you. I came on assignment to talk to three or four of you. The rest will just have to watch what God does. Luke chapter 7. There is a word from the Lord. I want to commence reading at verse number 36. Matter of fact, you can be seated because I got a little reading to do. And I don't want you to check out on me because your knee or back hurt. So thank you for standing in reverence to the word of God. But I'll try to take it from here. God bless you. Somebody said, whew. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse number 36. The word of God reads thusly. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is something else.
All right.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
He frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Don't miss it. He looked at her, but talked to him. I entered into thine house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet, with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, she did it. Somebody say, she did it.
She did it.
Somebody say, we did it.
We did it.
But her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go back up to verse number 43. Simon, I want to go a little further. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I tried to bother y'all too much, but y'all do me a favor. Look to a neighbor and look them in the eye. Pretend to smile. If you can't do that, you know what I'm going to tell you. You shouldn't have sat there near him. Look them in the eye and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have had some singing.
Some
worshiping.
And some hollering.
Now the Lord want to speak to us.
And
God's word to us today. What Simon says,
doesn't
matter.
Doesn't matter.
Find you one more neighbor. Look them in the eye and say to him, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
I've got good news,
from heaven.
God's word,
what Simon says,
doesn't matter. Give the Lord a praise he wants to tell you on today. What Simon says does not matter. I came to tell you three things. I'm going to have to add some stuff to it, but I came to tell you three main things. You can be forgiven.
Amen.
Number two, you will be forgiven. And number three, you are
Hallelujah.
Forgiven.
Hallelujah.
I'm in the wrong house. I'm going to try it one more time. You can be forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
You will be
yes.
forgiven.
Yes.
And you are
Amen.
Forgiven.
Yes.
No matter what Simon says. Y'all know that game Simon says, don't you? That game Simon says when whoever gets the designation to be and the distinction of being Simon, they feel like they're in charge of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they in charge of the game, for that brief moment, they're in charge of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to follow directives that whoever pretends to be Simon says. But you only ought to do it when they add and begin with Simon says.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't permit you to do it, you're not supposed to do it. If they don't include that Simon says jump, don't jump. It's meant to teach you and I how to listen to Simon. Now, the person who's operating the game, their real name is not Simon. But they pretend to be in a Simon role so that they can be in control and tell you what to do. And sometimes Simon likes to trip you up to see how much you listen to them. Because the problem with Simon says is that you're paying so much attention to Simon that you don't know what you're really supposed to be doing. Come here, I'm in the house of God. I'm in our everyday lives. And there are some Simons in your life who are trying to limit you and hold you back based on your circumstances, who are trying to keep you captive based on your past and maybe your present, who will say that you can't praise because Simon didn't say do it. You can't show up unless Simon says show up. You ought not lift your hands unless Simon say lift your hand. You ought not smile and want something better unless Simon says you can do it. There are some Simon spirits in your life. There are some Simon spirits in your home. There are some Simons in our community. There are some Simons even in the church who will give you an eye and say, I didn't say do that. They'll give you certain looks and say, we ain't with that. If other people lift their hands, you got to look to Simon. And if Simon say you can do it, then you can do it. But I came to free the house today and say, it don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what somebody said about you. It does not matter what Simon says. You are called to be redeemed. God has spared your life for such a time as this. God wants to renew you. God wants to restore you. God wants to bless you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to use you for his glory. And it don't matter what Simon says. I wish I had about three people who don't care anymore about somebody's dirty look, about their rules and regulations. I just want to get to my God and find something better. It don't matter what Simon says. Let me hurry.
Amen.
Let me hurry to this text. Because I need y'all to do me one favor before I really dig in. I need you to pray for me. Because Simon is hot as fish grease right now. Because the moment you tap into what God want to tell you, Simon will no longer have control over you. And you're going to recognize that Simon is more messed up than you. And that's why I'm learning today, y'all. I don't come to church because everything is right. I'm in God's house because some stuff may have gone wrong, and God's still been good in the midst of my wrong, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my sin, in the midst of my shortcoming. He's still been good to me. I might as well. We're in Simon's house in Luke chapter 7. We're in Simon's house. And we're still trying to figure out to this day why Simon invited Christ to his home to eat. Because Simon is what you call a Pharisee. The word Pharisee means separated ones.
These are those political and legal folk who always got rules and regulations about who God is going to bless, who God is, and what God's going to do. They have been natural enemies of Christ because that Christ frees people, but the Pharisees keep people bound. And I believe we got messed up in the house of God because we are serving a God who is about inclusion and not exclusion. You see, this thing is not about who can't. It's about who can. Okay, try again. It's not about who can't. It's about who can. Because the truth of the matter is, you didn't die for my sin. There's a Jesus who died for my sin. And you don't have a right to tell me who the Lord can love, who the Lord can forgive, who the Lord can restore. I'm in trouble already. Now, people will put some rules and regulations and codes on you to make you think you don't deserve it. Well, here's the shout today. You don't deserve it. That's why you ought to shout anyway, because somebody knows I don't deserve his goodness. That's why I praise him like I praise him, because I know I don't deserve it. You think you know my business, but he already know my business, and he'll bless me anyway. Yeah. And he's in Simon's house, and we're trying to figure out, y'all, why has he invited Simon invited Jesus, knowing that he don't really mean Jesus any good. Isn't it strange how people can love God but can't stand Jesus?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Y'all will catch that sometime.
That's it.
For the week over with. Everybody love the Lord, but you don't like Jesus. Because when Jesus show up, he upsets your order. He upsets the usual. He upsets our traditions. You love God, but you don't really like his son. Because we think we got a monopoly on God. The Pharisees have been disrespecting Jesus, thinking they're getting to God. Look how quiet it's done got already. And you know what I learned? They know they're doing it. They know they fighting God, fighting Jesus. But because they love God, it's supposed to be okay. He says to us, how can you love a God who you cannot see? But a Jesus you can see, you can't stand. Y'all help me now. Y'all smarter than me. The people the Lord sends your way, you keep pushing them back, but you say you're going to heaven anyhow. Well, my question for you, if you get to heaven, who else you think you go see? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout. Y'all done got mad. Because too many of us think that it's just me and the Lord. But see, you got to give an account for how you handle people. And you can pray all day. You can speak in tongue until you learn how to speak in English. The Lord's going to get you. So let me begin. Now, y'all, we had a good 45 minutes to just worship. And everybody was on their feet. Time I told Simon by himself. Now I didn't know I had that many Simons up in here. Let's begin. It begins with a suitable setting. It's a suitable setting. When it doesn't matter what Simon says, it begins with a suitable setting. It's dinner time. And what I love about Jesus is that he knew that Simon may not have meant him any good, and he showed up anyway.
Yeah.
That don't make sense to you unless you can receive within your own life. There are some days, some weeks, and some moments you ain't really been right with God.
Amen.
And he still wake you up in the morning. Still put a roof over your head. Still takes care of your every need. I wish I had some real folk. This ain't for you deep people who don't want to pretend. And anybody who realize there's some times that you ain't mean the Lord all good, but the Lord still showed up in your house. Yeah, yeah, he's been good to you. Can I do that? Can I do that? Y'all said God is good. Y'all sang it, but let me say it. God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Whether you praise him or not, he's been good to you. But you won't say amen. Too proud to say amen. Too arrogant to lift your hand self. He done took care of you with your old silly self when you ain't know enough sense to know how God was good to you. And then you got the nerve and the gibbous to show up into his house and act like you doing him a favor. But all I need is three people, and I'll be number four, who say flaws and all, God been good to me. I don't mind somebody knowing God has taken care of me the whole step of the way. Even when I was unlovable, he still showed up. I wish I had somebody. There are some days I have been unlovable, but he still showed up. And y'all missed it. When the Lord shows up, some go shift. When the Lord shows up, some go change. Can anybody thank God that he showed up today? Do you believe the Lord showed up here? Well, if the Lord showed up here, it's a suitable setting. It's suitable for deliverance. It's suitable for healing. It's suitable for signs. It's suitable for power when the Lord shows up. Yeah. Yeah. It's a suitable setting. Not because, get in trouble, Ham, because the Bible says they sat at meat. We don't know what meat it was. Because, child of God, y'all really get mad at me? It wasn't about the menu. It's about the main attraction. And the main attraction is not your peas. The main attraction is not your ice. Right, right. The main attraction is not your paper plate. Yeah. The main attraction is Jesus. And I believe some of us church folk done got misguided, and we think this thing about us and what we do and what we bring. But sometimes God checks your motives, that sometimes you ain't even right what you're doing. You're just doing it. And anytime the Lord is not your main attraction, you in trouble. I got a question for you, deep church folk. When the last time you asked the Lord to show up? In your little functions, in your little events, in your little ministry, in your little program. When the last time you asked the Lord to show up? Jesus came, and no one knows what they ate. Because ultimately, it didn't matter. I don't care about y'all getting mad. He's supposed to be impressed by what you do, but you don't seem to be impressed by what he's done. He has healed you, that don't impress you. Provided, that don't impress you. Kept you in the right mind, that don't impress you. Spared your children, but that don't impress you. But you want him to be impressed by your skirt, impressed by your jacket, impressed by your cufflinks, but you're not impressed by nothing he done for you. Can I preach it like I feel it? It's a suitable setting, not because you and me show up. It's suitable because he showed up. And I need about two people. I'll be number three. If nobody else comes, if the Lord is in the house, I want to be there. Now, then it's also suitable because Simon is popular. He's a popular Pharisee. He's an important man. And anytime a guest of distinction shows up to your house, the public can come. It may be a privately planned event, but the public is invited. In Jesus' day, if you invite someone of distinction to your house, you can't keep people out. It might be your house in name, but when the Lord show up, it's his house by nature. And I believe what's done happened to some of us is that we think because we done wrote too many checks and we done been here too many times that we start thinking this is our house. But the devil is a lie. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This is the Lord's house, and I wish we would get back to putting it back in his hands. So, can you handle paying bills for something that ain't yours? We really just renting this out. It ain't yours. I'm gonna preach to y'all. I'm gonna preach till I get tired today. Uh-huh. Simon, you invited Jesus, but you didn't invite everybody who came in. And what God is doing in 2025 is bringing in uninvited guests. And I'm so glad that God has got some of y'all looking around and you bucking your eyes, because it's people coming to God that you did not invite. It's people coming to righteousness that you ain't had nothing to do with. It wasn't your motion. It wasn't your second. It wasn't your song. It wasn't your sermon. And the Lord is bringing people in you did not invite. Yeah. Bible says, here come this woman. Oh, Lord. It's a suitable setting, because the word has gotten out. It's a party going on at Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, isn't it interesting how God will make a clown out of you while you're trying to make a clown out of somebody else? Watch this. I told y'all in my introduction that the Pharisees are separated ones, yet God is bringing people together. Y'all missed your shout. The more you try to mess up God's agenda, the more you end up being a part of God's agenda. The more you try to put people out, the more God keep bringing people in. The more people you try to disregard, the more people God drawing. The more people you can't stand, the more people God will bring in anyway. But you say you love God, so you can't complain. It's a suitable setting. Let me hurry. Y'all ain't come for all this. It's a suitable setting. But then, y'all, here comes a stirring sacrifice. I'm hurrying. I'm running. I'm doing best I can. I know it's divisional round in the football playoffs, and y'all trying to get to the house. My chairman already gave me a certain look. He said, hey, mess with his ears. That means hurry up. I ain't playing. Listen, it's a stirring sacrifice. Bible says this woman hears that Jesus is in the house. And you can't put her out because the doors to Simon's house. You said the doors of the church are open. So when people come in those doors, it ain't up to you what kind of people it is.
Right. Ooh. Amen.
See, here's my shout. God ain't calling saved folk. He already saved them.
Amen.
He calling folk who ain't been saved.
Right.
He saving folk who ain't been saved before.
Right.
He ain't opening these doors for you and me to sit here and look at each other every day. But we done got hung up wanting to open the doors just so certain people can come in, the ones I'm used to.
Right.
Let me show you something. Bible says this woman, and she's unnamed. I'm so glad she ain't got no name. Because that means you and I can insert our name right there.
Right.
If her name was Eunice, you know good and well your name ain't no Eunice. And so you would put it off on, but it's just Eunice situation. She's unnamed because of you and I being able to put there. Because, see, too often we tag people based on their name and their issue. But the truth of it is, all of us got something. She hears about Jesus being in the house. And something happens in her where she says, I'm getting to Jesus.
Yeah.
I want something better. Mm-hmm. While I'm in it, I still want something better. I'm not finished. I'm not complete. I am broken. I'm sinful. I'm struggling, but I heard that Jesus is somewhere nearby. And I done got to a point in my life, the woman says, that I'm tired of rules, regulations, and I'm tired of my life as it is, and I know it's got to be something better for my life. I came for three people. Is there anybody in this house who can say within themselves, I'm tired of my life as it is, and I know it's got to be something better for me? No more fronting, no more pretending, no more make-believe. I am hurting, I am sinning, I am struggling. I'm with the wrong people, I'm doing the wrong thing, but I heard that Jesus is nearby. And I'm getting to Jesus no matter what. Even if I gotta go through y'all. Now here's the problem for us Simons. Don't open doors you don't want people coming in. Stop making something public that you want to keep private. Who am I talking to already up in here? And so this woman comes in, and y'all, she don't come in empty-handed. This is where it's about to really get good. Mm-hmm. Because she don't come in empty-handed. Mm-hmm. I wish I had time to teach this to you, but this is not Mary in John 12. Mm-hmm. This is a different woman. Mm-hmm. Here in Luke's gospel, and according to the harmony of the gospels, y'all listening? Yes. Somewhere before Jesus got to Simon's house, he preached and taught Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't miss it. See, y'all, we don't know enough Bible. Jesus taught, come unto me. If you're tired of your life, you're tired of struggling by yourself, Jesus says, come unto me. He goes to Simon's house. Somebody, this woman heard the word and responded to the word Jesus spoke. You said for me to come unto you? Well, sir, I'm coming unto you. I wish I had a real witness. According to the harmony of the gospels, that Jesus taught a word, and this woman responded to the word Jesus taught, and she did not come to church. She came to Christ. She wasn't coming to rules. She came to relationship. She wasn't coming to be seen. She came to see him.
Yes, God. That's good.
So, church, we can't say stuff we don't mean. I can't say come unto Jesus, and when they come, you got to change your clothes. All you who labor and are heavy laden, you're trying to carry your life by yourself. You're tired of doing it by yourself. You want a relationship. I can't treat them ugly. Now, I can't have a hot word and cold people. This is false advertising, that we're telling people about a Jesus who loves everybody, and when we come to the house where we say love lives, and we're looking around and we cold and mean.
That's good. That's good.
I'm going to try it again. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus makes this appeal, and he says, come unto me. Not some of y'all who's struggling. All y'all, you black ones, come on. White, come on. Y'all ready for this? Homosexual, come on. Lesbian, come on. Adulterer, come on. Sinful, come on. All who are tired of your life as it is, come unto me. Keep your eyes off them jokers in there because they ain't doing no better than you, but you come to me. And when you come in the house, keep your eyes on me, and I'm going to take care of you. Yeah. And I'm going to give you rest. And what you do, y'all, when somebody does respond to a word. Ain't it pitiful, Shanice? You about the only one I got left today. Ain't it pitiful how sinners respond better than saints? This sinful woman came from the streets. And then she didn't come empty-handed or empty-hearted. She came with something in her hand and in her heart toward Jesus. And some of us in the house. Just got our name on the house, but ain't bringing nothing. And ain't got in our heart toward him. But I think I'm better than you because I'm in the house and you've been out the house. And what's going to happen, what is happening, is that the sinners are exposing the saints.
Yeah.
Luke says she's a known sinner. It's believed by commentators she's a prostitute. Y'all know what that is. That's just that sin.
That's right. That's
but that's not the only.
That's right.
So before you look at this sister all bad, I want you to look at yourself and see where you struggle. And you got to stop judging people because you sin different.
That's right.
Pam, if you don't
that's
preach
right.
God's word today.
Yeah.
You think you got a monopoly because you sin differently.
Right.
So you tell about what you don't do,
right.
But you don't tell what you do. That don't even make sense. She's a sinner. But you go find out, her coming in exposes other sinners.
Right. It's already in there.
Because sin is that which separates us from the Lord.
That's right.
And you can be separated from the Lord in his house. Pride.
Yeah.
Envy.
Yeah.
Hatred.
Right.
That stuff that's up in there.
Yeah.
That nobody sees.
Right.
All that shouting and can't stand your neighbor.
Right.
All that hollering and ain't forgave somebody. That's just as sinful as somebody out there on drugs,
right.
Sleeping around.
Amen.
See, I didn't come for you church folk. I came for somebody who struggles thinking they belong. Because some of y'all don't feel like you belong in this based on how we done treated you. And I came to tell you, first of all, I'm sorry for how we've treated you. And I want you to come to Jesus. And I want you to find real relationship with him. Please forgive us for our looks, our dirty attitudes. Forgive us how we walk by you and how we pass you by. Please forgive us for misrepresenting Jesus, because Jesus loves you just like he loves us. So forgive us for the moments that we made you feel like you couldn't get it. Forgive us for the moments we made it look like we got a monopoly on Christ. This woman came in with an alabaster box, and it had costly ointment in it. It was her best. Now, it ain't our business how she paid for it. Because when it gets in the Lord's hands, it's blessed. You don't know where every dollar you got came from. I wish I had a witness. When you go put that little, you get that $10 out your ATM, you don't know where that $5 came from.
Right.
That's dirty money, not when it's in the Lord. Let me tell you something, bring it here and watch me pray over it. Bring it here and watch me lay hands on it. If God can clean hearts, he can clean some cash too, baby. Bring it to the Lord. I wish I had. You don't know where everything you got came from.
Amen.
So it ain't our business. But the problem is, she's the only one with a jar of ointment.
Right. Yeah.
And so she began to just getting close to Jesus. Told you she had something in her heart too, right? Yeah. Not just in her hand, it was something in her heart. Her heart says devotion. Her heart says love. Her heart says I need him. Her heart says I just want to get close to him. Yeah. And watch this, y'all. She was able to get close to Jesus in the house. Now, it's never out of order for somebody to get close to Jesus. Oh, all my Pharisees is mad right now. Because order, if you ain't careful, that's our order.
Ooh, that's good.
And don't be the Lord's order. Because some machines that's out of order don't work. Some machines that's out of order have nothing in them. That's why they don't work. I push in a Coke's supposed to come out. Called the light on. So why ain't no Coke coming out? Because ain't nothing inside the machine. You in here all this time saying you love God, saying you reach up, reach out, reach in. But when somebody pushed the button for love, nothing come out. I push the button for forgiveness, nothing come out. Push the button for joy, nothing come out.
That's good.
She comes with this jar, and she walks up behind Jesus, because in Jesus' day, when they sit at a table, they actually recline. And so Jesus was lying on his arm, his left arm, which means he had his feet out that way. And the woman came up behind Jesus, and she was just getting, just the closer she got, the deeper she felt it. I'm trying again. The closer she got, the better she felt. The closer she got, the more she couldn't keep her emotions in check. Because as sinful as she's been, as much as she's gone through, the very fact she can get close to a Savior, get close to a Redeemer, get close to a Healer, get close to a breakthrough, she couldn't keep it together. I wish I had some people in Zion who say, I got too much in my life, I done had too much in my past, and the Lord done messed around and let me get close. I can't keep it to myself. I can't contain myself. God is allowing me to get close. And she started crying. And her tears fell on his feet, because she saw his feet dirty from the traveling he's done. And since she cried on his feet, she messed around and wiped his feet. She took her hair that was already down. And a woman's hair who's already down points her as an adulterous or prostitute woman. Now, if your hair's tied up, you're pretty, according to people. But if your hair ever down, it's showing the world that you messed up. But what the woman did when she got close to Jesus, she took what was wrong and made it right. She took what was messed up and wiped the face of the feet of Jesus, what was wrong with her. And I wish I had some people in Zion who says, I got a broken relationship, but I'm going to give it to Jesus. I got a broken past, but I'm going to give it to Jesus. Y'all missed it. Now, in order to really, really worship, to really worship, something got to break. And she broke that box and took the ointment out. And she smeared and anointed the feet of our Savior with the ointment that she bought. And it could have caused something here. Y'all ready? Because ointment has a smell. It's a distinctive smell. And now when you smell worship, you don't smell the food. I'm trying for it. What do you do when the worship smells higher than the work? And that's what's wrong. We working so much, but we won't worship. We won't break anything. Can I tell you something else? I'm in the text. I ain't left it yet. Hair is a symbol of a woman's glory. Her respect is in her hair. Her identity is in her hair. Everything she, her essence is in her hair. But when Jesus is around, she says, I have no glory. I have no reverence. I'm not all that when he around. I ain't the president when he around. I ain't the chairperson when he around. I ain't the prophetess when he around. I ain't the apostle when he around. Lest I forget to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't enough room for your glory and his.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's good.
Let me hurry. Let me hurry. Because y'all done got just as quiet. She took something that she could have used elsewhere and gave it to Jesus. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Sacrifice is you saying, I could have done it that, but I'm going to give it to him. I'm not, y'all keep letting these folk tell you, you ain't got to give your tithe and offerings to the Lord. Keep on letting them tell you that. Keep letting them tell you. Oh, yeah. Keep letting them tell you that don't matter. You're in here shouting, but you're not sowing, not sacrificing. You want all the amenities of being a Christian, but no responsibility of being a Christian. Y'all let these Hebrew Israelites tell you stuff. That tithing ain't real. Tithing precedes law. Law was introduced in Deuteronomy. Tithing was introduced in Genesis 14. But keep letting folk who don't know God and know the word tell you about your relationship with God. Then the Lord said, will a man rob God? I'm about to quit. I'm about to let y'all go. Will a man rob God? Now, he didn't say, will a man steal from God? Because you can't steal from somebody who owns everything. Watch this. Somebody who's a thief, take it behind your back. A robber, do it in your face. That's why they say you got robbed at gunpoint. They took a gun in your face and took what was yours. So when we don't tithe and give our offering, we're looking God in the face and telling him, I'm not. I'm going to the game. I'm going to pay for LYBA registration. I'm not giving you nothing. And then in turn say, bless my marriage. Heal my body. Uh-huh. It's a sacrifice this woman makes. And if she's sinful. Now, how do sinners get it, but church folk don't? Because I got a question, y'all. If the woman wiped the dirt off Jesus' feet, why was his feet dirty by the time she got there? Why had no one honored Christ before she got there? I'll wait when y'all tell me the answer. It took a sinner to do what saints wouldn't do. Because they so busy taking care of the house, they wouldn't take care of the Savior. Well, I'm in enough trouble now. It's a stirring sacrifice because she's crying and she's worshiping. She's just crying and she's worshiping and she's wiping and she's smearing and she's anointing. And just crying, she just emotional. And then here's Simon, because it's his house, right? He paid a note. Here's what I love about Simon spirits. They scary and bold. You got your Bible open still? Text says, Simon looked at that and said within himself. Don't Don't look at me. Look back in your text. Text says he saw this woman worshiping, and he didn't feel like she should be the one worshiping because they know her stuff. But he don't say nothing out loud. He says it within himself. He called himself a prophet. And if he really was a prophet, he wouldn't let nobody like that be touching him. Because sinners who touch clean stuff, it's believed that clean now becomes unclean by touching dirty stuff. And we have a problem. Because we know your present and your past, we try to dictate your future. Because if she's, children here, if she's a prostitute and a woman who lives pretty rough, Simon, how you know that? If you always in the house serving the Lord, how you know what's going on outside the house? Look this way. So you somebody will say amen there. Amen. So people won't start looking at you different.
Amen.
Oh, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't be letting her touch on him like that. Where her hair been? Where her hands been? You supposed to be a prophet letting this dirty woman touch you? Well, Simon, I see why you said it in yourself. Because you said out loud, you're going to expose you.
Right.
And you get upset sometimes when you see people publicly getting delivered for some you privately still hiding.
I got to get out of here.
Now I see why people look at you crazy when you do better. Because you were bold enough to admit it and confess it, and they've been hiding it for 20 years and still struggling with it. And the Lord done freed you because you got to a point you didn't care no more what somebody had to say. But these people who scared, upset the institution, and they think I'm going to lose my position, I'm going to lose my anointing and lose my place, I won't tell the truth.
My God.
What I'm trying to tell you is all the dirty folk ain't outside.
Right.
Problem is, if I help clean up something dirty, I'm going to get dirty myself. But you keep saying it to yourself. And you speak with your eyes and your actions. Text now. Do you see her up there? Who? Look at your girl.